540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. The usually sunny Key West is anything but for this tourist.
The wind kept us up last night. It's really fast winds, and the flooding is just every hour. It's like more and more.
Hurricane Idalia is barreling toward Florida's Big Bend area, gaining strength fueled by warm Gulf water and expected to soon become a major hurricane. Storm surge is a huge concern. CBS's Jason Allen is in Crystal River.
Those planning to ride out the storm have cleared grocery store shelves. Longtime Florida resident Dave Iwanek picked up some essentials and says the predicted storm surge has him worried.
This is different. We haven't seen this kind of water coming. 9 to 12 is... Something to look at.
Here in Crystal River, Florida, north of Tampa, we've seen a steady stream of trucks towing trailers, boats, moving items out of low-lying areas that could end up under several feet of water.
And the Biden administration announces the first 10 prescription drugs that will be part of new price negotiations between Medicare and major pharmaceutical companies. CBS's Natalie Brand.
Drug manufacturers have filed 8 lawsuits so far to try and block the program from taking effect. They argue it's government overreach and not a real negotiation.
The prices are too high.
Sheldon Armas, who used to work for a pharmaceutical company, takes Xarelto, one of the medications on the list. He says skyrocketing prescription drug costs hurt not only seniors, but taxpayers too.
Bond is denied for a University of North Carolina graduate student charged with first-degree murder in the shooting of a professor in a science building. School Police Chief Brian James says the victim was a graduate advisor to the suspect.
The victim and suspect knew each other, and the suspect went directly to the victim and then left Caudill Labs.
Some 100 students become sick, with at least 4 needing to be hospitalized in an E. coli outbreak at the University of Arkansas. CBS's Jim Krasula reports.
The E. coli infections do not appear to be connected to the university's campus dining facilities, according to health inspectors. Some strains can lead to serious illness or even death in humans.
An Australian woman is recovering after having a worm removed from her brain, surgeon Hari Priya Bandy.
Definitely not what we were expecting. Everyone was shocked. And the worm that we found was happily moving quite vigorously outside the brain.
It's thought the woman got parasite eggs on her hands from vegetation and unknowingly ate them. The Muslim call to prayer will ring out more freely in New York City. The city's mayor says that mosques no longer need a special permit to publicly broadcast the Islamic call to prayer on Fridays and at sundown during the holy month of Ramadan. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday, September 2nd. It's the Badgers and Buffalo Bulls in Madison. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
WRJN, 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, Racine, and 98.1 FM.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1. Don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and... a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're absolutely right, Dega, and this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Yes, what a great organization, and they've been with us for so long. Hey, just got to throw this out there. Haley, great job the last couple days working in the office here as I'm playing around at the fair. I really, really appreciate it, and you've done a great job, and so proud to be related to you and also having you as Native Roots Radio producer. So great job. I just want to give you a quick shout out.
Oh, Pina Gigi. Thank you. Yeah, I'm very glad to be your Honi Hei, your Ho-Tung family. Really proud to be your niece and proud to just want to say Pina Gigi to you for giving me the opportunity here. So,
yeah, it's kind of fun, right? Hey, I can say whatever I want. And then the mothership, like Patrick or Brett, could just cut us off and go to commercial if we say the wrong thing.
Exactly. So. Exactly. Yeah. And shout out to Pat, too. I forgot to do this yesterday, but shout out to Pat for stopping by Sunday out at the fair, stopping by the Native Roots Trading Post booth out in the West End Market. It's always fun to see what everyone looks like. We're always just so familiar hearing each other's voices on the radio and through the phone and whatnot. So always great to put a face to the voice. So shout out to you, Pat.
Yeah, really awesome. It was great to see Patrick. And we have to get Brett out there yet still, though. But Patrick's come a couple of years in a row. It was great to see him. Hopefully he's walking around with a Sage Against the Machine shirt, or I can't remember what shirt he got, but it was awesome to see him. And hey, just got to give a shout out too to my Weeha, which means second child, who's managing the store, and he knew who's working with her sister, twin sister, and son-in-law out at the Native Roots Trading Post at the State Fair. And as you can see, today I am at home. I was working today, and then Wendy and I are going to run out to the fair right after the show and go see Brandi Carlile because we're crazy.
Well, Brandi Carlile, I mean, she was doing half of the openings with Pink for her summer carnival tour. And she, I'm sure that's why. I don't know if she was booked for the state fair before, but that's why they had, or Pink had Pat Benatar open up for her here when she was out here a couple weeks ago. And it looks like Brandy's tagging along just a few weeks after. So it should be a good show.
Right. And I guess Winona Judd is opening up for her. And That's awesome. And so, you know, I guess I'm not a big country person, but, you know, she's pretty mainstreamed and has been doing great work. We're going to have Nathan Wright on and talking about a documentary coming up here. And Nathan is our Michigan person that we like to talk to, Water Protector Line 5. And so we're excited to talk to him. And then Wendy's got a a sacred animal section coming up today. So, you know, we're really happy to be here. And Haley, again, you know, it was fun, very fun. I got to see, after the show, Misko at the International Market Square. So if any of you are listening to us at the fair, which I always listen to the station when I'm listening to specifically AM 950, I'm listening on the app. So I go everywhere. I go on my walks and listen in the morning to Stephanie Miller and Tom Hartman and, of course, Matt McNeil. We love Matt, and Matt is just a powerhouse here on AM 950. And then we're out and about on Civic Media Radio, too, and give a shout-out to those guys at Devil Radio and all the great people in Wisconsin that are fighting the good fight, which is really a really positive thing to do when it comes to all the stations that Civic Media Radio have in Wisconsin now. And we happen to be blessed on being on 18 other stations, too. So just a big shout-out to them, too, Haley. It's fun. I just got to say this again. It's really fun not only seeing Patrick, who we've worked with, and got to see Ogama. So those people that remember Ogama, she was out there working with Ampers, volunteering, and it was really good to see her. Also, I had three or four people come up to the store, buy stuff, and then also take a selfie. So I felt like a little celebrity there, Haley.
Well, yeah. I mean, you are the Robert Pilot, and you are the selfie king. So that's kind of your thing. I feel like you're known for that.
Yeah. I used to be really the selfie king before I got that other job that I have right now. So it's trying not to do as many selfies and be kind of low-key out there in the hood. But I love taking pictures of things that are happening native-wise wherever I am. And, you know, Native American Heritage Day at the fair was pretty awesome. I got to take a lot of pictures. And also I got to see at the end of the show yesterday, I was walking up to the International Market Square. And like I said, if you guys are listening to this on your radio or online and you're at the fair, go up to see the Native dancers at the International Market Square up there. Misko, who was on yesterday, who is such a sweet person, and it's just great to know this young warrior who's keeping traditions alive. And she'll be up there dancing with the famous Mr. Yazzie, and he's been at the fair for 20 years straight. And something significant about that, Haley, too, is that usually, and I've known people that play at the fair in that market space, and they never play a year back to back. So they might play a year and 2 years, come back, but the Native American dancers have been playing 20 straight years without a break. And it's been, you know, they really like them at the fair because Mr. Yazzie really talks about our culture. And we talked about the fact that these aren't costumes, that they're us. They're part of our culture, right, and they who we are. And every bead it has a prayer in it, you know, and I hear that about from the beaters.
Yes. And what they do, that one bead to it, they put a bead where it's not supposed to go. I forget. Right. I think there's a word for it, but just to prove that, you know, as artists, as Indigenous artists, that they're not perfect and that nobody's perfect and that even the art that we make isn't perfect. So really beautiful. A lot of the regalia, any of which you see the dancers wearing, all of that is handmade by those dancers or with the help of those of their relatives or friends. So really a lot of work and time goes into making the regalia. So
well, that's a really good point. Let me just jump in and say this, Haley. That's a really good point about beading. When you're looking for authentic beading, there is a mistake made in there on purpose, whether it's a prayer or to show the imperfection, like you said, but also to show that it isn't made in China on a machine.
Right. Exactly. Yes, exactly. So yeah, Misko's great. So I believe she had a dance today at 3. I'm not sure whether or not she was dancing a couple other days this week, but definitely get out there and make sure you see that. Our dancers always draw a large crowd. So
yeah, it's like 3, 4, 5, and 6 or something like that. 3:45, but I got there at 6:15 and they were just wrapping it up. So, you know, right now they're definitely going full bore, and I didn't get a chance to get up there and dance and go ho-wa and raise my hand in a good way and point towards Father Sky and Mother Earth, which I like to do when I dance.
Right, right. We just can't have you breaking your hip out there, Dago, though. So
yeah, easy. Yeah. Right. Or even straining it, you know.
Yeah, or I should say choka, not Dago.
Oh, there you go. Ho, wa. That means grandpa. She just called me grandpa, and I don't know if that was a good thing. Ho, wa. Hey, up next, Nathan Wright checking in on what's happening as a water protector of up there in Lake Superior and keeping our Mother Earth and Father Sky and our water clean and just giving us an update. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm here with Haley, and we're just chilling out and trying to be chill. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Upfront Minnesota is the state's largest LGBTQ+ advocacy organization, and they're celebrating our state's accomplishments protecting our LGBTQ+ neighbors. This is especially important as surrounding states are passing legislation targeting our trans community. But here in Minnesota, we made it clear, you belong here. Minnesota's LGBTQ+ rights have taken a significant step forward with the conversion therapy ban and the Trans Refuge Bill, helping reshape the national discourse. The trailblazers who once championed same-sex marriage a decade ago continue propelling Minnesota towards an even brighter future. To celebrate these accomplishments, Outfront Minnesota is hosting their annual gala, where we bring in together more than 700 guests at Allianz Field on Thursday, September 14th. The event celebrates a year of legislative wins while honoring diverse communities propelling Minnesota forward into next year. Again, that's Thursday, September 14th at Allianz Field with a dinner at 6 and party at 8. So come celebrate Minnesota's progress on LGBTQ+ rights and order your tickets at outfront.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by NACDI's Four Sisters Farmers Market, which happens every Thursday on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis from 11 to 3.
Hey, really excited to have Nathan Wright on, and I feel like you're our correspondent out there east of us here, and really good to see you. Hey, Nathan, I was looking at your bio. You're a veteran, too?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yep. Well, hey, really honored to have you on. A good one. I didn't realize that, Nathan, and it also says you're a father and a herbalist, and I said herbalist. Oh, boy. Herbalist and forger, and I saw you're a veteran, too, and a business owner, and really carrying our ways in a good way. So it's always really a pleasure to have you on, but also really big pleasure that I just realized you were a veteran. You've probably said that, but I just realized that. Thank you so much for being on.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me. I'm always welcome to be here and share with you all what's happening back here in Michigan. And certainly there's a lot of things that we have, not only being Anishinaabe, but just to be able to have that connection and maintain that connection on the things that are happening in between us and all around us.
Absolutely. Thanks again. Hey, you got some updates for us. And I know one of the things that we talked about a little bit earlier, I did not know about. And I'm wondering if you can let our audience know what's coming up on September 15th.
Sure. So there's a documentary that was made last year by a couple of filmmakers. It was basically told the story about how two paddleboard boardists went across Lake Michigan, eventually down to Lansing, which you could travel by waterway, and then went to Lansing. And along the way, they are checking the water for clarity. They're doing interviews with indigenous people and alike to talk about the importance of the water. And it's basically, you know, it used this whole ideal of these two young men traveling and checking the environment along the way and talking to people to tell the story about why our waters need to be protected. So this was filmed last year, and they finally have it done. And the film producer just notified me today that they are going to be having their event down in Traverse City on September 15th. That will be the opening of that. And I clicked away, and I hope you can still hear me. So Troubled Water, the premiere.
We kind of lost you, Nathan.
Can you still hear me okay?
Not really. You're a little scratchy, and yeah, we just lost you here. It's making funny sacred noises. Oh, wow. Hey, so we lost Nathan for a minute.
That's all right. He'll be back. But yeah, so we got a documentary that he's in. That's coming out soon.
Yeah, we can hear you, Nathan. It's just, I think when you switch over and overpower your phone that you're on, that all of a sudden you sound like you're from Star Nation. You're one of our alien.
Okay. Relatives. Sorry about that. So it's good. The movie's going to premiere Troubled Water. It's a documentary. It's going to premiere in Traverse City on September 15th. It's on a Friday. They're going to have like a dinner and stuff. But if you Google Troubled Water, I'm sure it'll come up. If not, I will put it on the Mackinac Ode website. That's what I'll do. Mackinawode. I will put it on our Facebook page, information about that documentary. I think it's important that if you're a water protector or anybody that's interested in what is happening with our waters and the importance of it, that you watch this documentary. These guys did a great job. I met the filmmakers, wonderful people, environmentalists on the right path, and they certainly gave indigenous people, allowed them their voice to speak their own message, and they were very respectful in that area. Wonderful
people.
That's awesome.
That's great to hear, and that's wonderful. Hey, there's Water's Life gatherings happening all over up where you're at. Can you talk a little bit about what's happening up there, too?
Sure. So, as many of you know, we have the Water's Life Festival. This is something that's put on by another group that's separate from Mackinac Day. Janann Cornstalk heads this up. But it's a yearly event that she is doing, and then you have other people, other different organizations that are involved. And I'm just going to give you a kind of a gist of what is happening. So a lot of you already that are water protectors are coming up from Minnesota. You have already heard about this. But in a nutshell, on Friday, September 1st, they're having a feast from 5 to 9 at Little Traverse Bay Band Government Building. Bring a dish to pass or a snack to pass if you can. On the September 2nd, that's the Water's Life Festival. It used to be in Mackinac City, but they moved it down here to Petoskey. And that's going to be at the Festival Park near the Breakwall in Petoskey, Michigan. That'll be on Saturday, pretty much all day. Live music, a very fun event. I'm sure a lot of people that come will enjoy that. Sunday, which is September 3rd, will be an Art Build and Potluck from 10:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Potluck will be from 4:30 to 6:30. Bring a dish to pass if you can. That will be held at the Bliss Gardens Farm, which is up in Harbor Springs. That's probably about 40 minutes north of Petoskey. So there's going to be several art build projects going on, silk screens, buttons, different things like that also at that event. Now, Monday, this is why most of you are coming. Every year here in Michigan, they do what's called the Bridge Walk. So on Monday the 4th, they're doing a shutdown Line 5 Bridge Walk. So that will go till noon in St. Ignace, which is the north side of the bridge. And it'll also happen in Mackinac City. So the Bridge Walk meetup will start at 5 a.m. St. Ignace site. And they'll shut down the bridge, I think, till noon. And then there's just a lot of activities that are happening around during that time. They're adding more, but that'll just give you a gist of what's happening. And for anyone that's interested in finding a camp space, there's a the Lost Tamarack, which is you should be able to find it online. They are providing, it's not too far from me actually, they are providing their festival grounds for campers to come camp at in a pretty safe environment. If you're having difficulty finding a place to stay, bring a tent and they will be happy to provide for you. So this whole event with this series of many people, not only in Minnesota, Wisconsin, here in Michigan, everyone collaborating together to put something like this together to raise awareness for shutting down Line 5 and Line 3.
Yeah, that's
absolutely
awesome.
Yeah, we have our little banner going on our Facebook and YouTube Live here. So just a call to action of what we can do to demand stopping Line 5 right now. Please call the White House. That number is 202-456-1111. And then again, 202-456-1111. Demand stopping Line 5. Call the White House, please.
Exactly. Hey, any last words there, Nathan? Any good words you want to leave us with?
I think there's always good words. There's an event happening up in Whitefish Island on the treaty rights up there. For anyone that might be in the area, that's up in Sault Ste. Marie. Lots of tribal leaders who have up there. They've done a lot with standing up for treaty rights, and a lot of those leaders will be there. So if you're going to be in the area around September 15th, try to make it to that festival. There's also a powwow, I believe, that's happening this weekend too up there on Whitefish Island, for those of you that are interested in that. I'm going to be downstate at an herbalist gathering in the Great Lakes Herb Fair right around September 9th and 10th. And I just want to thank everyone that's worked so hard with protecting our waters and our environment, and our fight will never end. But I appreciate all of your efforts and your continued work and to raise awareness, especially what you're doing here with Native Roots. It's really an honor to be here and to be able to share this message.
Awesome. Hey, one more thing about September 15th before we let you go.
The Huron-Robinson Treaty thing?
No, I think the documentary I was talking about.
Oh, the documentary. Oh, yes, the documentary. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on, isn't
it? Yeah.
Know that other than it's going to be really good, the guys that did it, Davis, he's an amazing cinematographer. I mean, his camera work and everything is great. And the two guys, they're two younger guys that he worked with that, you know, they kind of tell it from maybe a third generation perspective, you know, kind of a younger generation perspective, but they intertwine it from the footage that I've seen of it. You know, they have us in our G-mounds, you know, traveling in our canoes. They did a drone of us. They let us speak our words about treaty rights and everything. You know, I haven't seen the whole thing, but the footage that I've seen them do is amazing. And it tells a great story that I think every water protector and anyone that cares about the environment would really appreciate seeing.
Right on.
And that's down in Traverse City. And I will put the link on Mackinac All Day.
Right on. Hey, Nathan, always a pleasure. Thank you so, so much for stopping in with this quick update. We love having you on. And again, thank you for your service. I really appreciate you being on.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Right on. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Hey, please stay with us. Oh,
keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Hurricane Idalia is expected to bring dangerous storm surge to Florida, projected to become a Category 3 storm when it makes landfall around Florida's Big Bend region. Governor Ron DeSantis.
Assume you're going to lose power if you're in the path of this storm. That's likely to happen, and so just prepare for that. Expect that.
WCSC-TV's Destiny Kennedy on storm prep.
The company urges its customers to take proactive measures as well. Make sure you have an emergency kit with essentials like flashlights, batteries, a portable radio, first aid supply, bottled water, and non-perishable food.
The Biden administration releases a list of drugs targeted for Medicare price negotiations, including a popular blood thinner and a diabetes drug. Nancy Lamond of AARP.
They are the most used by Medicare recipients, and so they are 10 that have a tremendous impact right out of the gate.
Some drug makers are legally challenging the policy. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's back to school time, but before we ring the bell for class, how about this subject? The first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created America's first kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown, about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany.
That Warner Stellion.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, there's so much going on, but, you know, I don't know if you mentioned this when you were hosting the show, but, you know, Indigenous history is one of the new requirements in Minnesota classrooms. So that's kind of pretty interesting. That's a new bill, and that's really exciting that that's happening now here in Minnesota. You know, our history has been left out for so many years and so many generations. That's just unbelievable, Haley.
Yeah, I know. And actually, you know, I didn't get around to talking to this yet. Really wanted to save this for you, just being an educator and working at Harding High School for all of those years. Really wanted to get your take on this. So I guess, yeah, growing up all throughout my time in elementary school, junior high, high school, it's Indigenous education wasn't something that was really ever talked about, really, even during Thanksgiving or lessons on Christopher Columbus, really wasn't something that we even talked about back then. And I think it's kind of a coincidence, but the elementary school I went to was actually called Columbus. Yeah. And I remember too, probably being in, I want to say second or third grade, the school pulled me out of class once and tried to build or have me build a friendship with another kid who had just moved to that area and just began going to school there with us. But we were the only two Native American kids in the school. Wow. So I don't know, just, you know, that's my representation and what I grew up with in the classroom. You know, Indigenous teachings wasn't ever talked about. So I'm really happy to hear that this is going to be a new requirement in classrooms. Just goes to show with how our government, our state government, is able to do all of these really great things and pass all of these great laws with the help of the tribal nations. And a really just shout out to Peggy and all of our Indigenous state representatives that are. Yeah, exactly. For making us be seen and letting our voices be heard in the state. So yeah, and NPR News actually did a really great article on this. So this was August 16th by Kathy Werzer and Gracie Stockton. Indigenous history is one of the newest requirements in Minnesota classrooms. So some important wording tucked into a section of the bill again. Probably, I'm sure that was Kunish's doing or Keeler, I'm sure one of our Indigenous lawmakers. But so important wording tucked into a section of a bill passed last spring by Minnesota legislator describes a new requirement for classrooms across the state in one simple sentence. So this is all that was written in the bill, and they just tucked it in there. It says this sentence, Indigenous education for all students. Mm-hmm. That was it. So this new requirement includes that Minnesota teachers renewing their K-12 license must receive professional development in the cultural heritage and contemporary contributions of American Indians, with particular emphasis on the Minnesota tribal nations. So, you know.
Well, let me just say this. You know, I'm 62 years old. So in 1978, I say this a lot, but when it comes to. Well, I was born in the 60s, so the racist TV shows like F Troop and all these shows, and especially the movies that John Ford movies that were supposed of like classic Westerns, but showed our Native Americans, one, as a Pan-American, Pan-Natives because of what they were wearing. And, you know, in these movies, they were wearing headbands to keep their wigs on. The white people keep their wigs on, and that's not the way it was or is. So there's a lot of history out there that hasn't been taught. But I just want to say, like, I'm 62 years old. So in 1978, when I was a junior, is when we could practice our own religion, you know. And just think of that. People supposedly came and conquered this country to and stole it from the Native Americans to leave religious persecution. And so it's just a bizarre kind of, you know, truth and justice for some, you know, not for all. And it's amazing. And I not only, Haley, while you were speaking about giving the shout outs to our native lawmakers and lieutenant governor, these things probably wouldn't have come up if they weren't in office, one. And two, I want to give a shout out to all our white and BIPOC allies out there that voted for this too.
Absolutely. Yeah, because it takes all of us. Again, you know, just knowing our native population, there's, I mean, it's so small in the state of Minnesota compared to our other communities. But yeah, it takes everyone, and we're just really grateful that we do have representation in the state.
Hey, let me just bring up another thing too that I'm really excited about is that, you know, Apple's original film announces October 20th as a new worldwide release date for The Killers of the Flower Moon. And I'm totally excited because I'm a big film buff. I taught film and video and television in high school. And so I've always been a big film buff, but it's, you know, a Leonardo DiCaprio, Robert De Niro, who just turned 80, and we got Uli Gladstone, who is a Native American that's playing in the movie. And, you know, it's about the Killers of the Flower Moon and the Osage natives that, you know, by a stroke of luck, became one of the richest groups in the country at the time when they struck oil. And then the fun began. You know, there was, well, if you read the book, this is based on the book, and the book's pretty crazy because of what happened to, you know, they couldn't drive, the people had to drive them, and people infiltrated their families, and next thing you know, people were dying out of nowhere. So that's, I'm excited to see that movie come out, and a great director, you know, is going to tell the story. And so I'm totally, totally excited to watch that movie.
Yeah, me too. Again, just rock star cast as well. I mean, and a lot of those actors, like you said, Leonardo DiCaprio, Robert De Niro, I feel like any role that they have, they always try to portray it in the most accurate, truthful way. So I'm really excited to see how this comes together and how they're able to tell everyone the story of Osage Nation and what happened back then.
Yeah, and it says based on the book, because the book is, it's not a fiction book, it's a nonfiction book of really what happened. So it'll be interesting how they portray a lot of the things that went down, but still totally stoked to Haley, really excited. Can't wait till this movie comes out. And yeah, I'm just really, really excited about it.
Absolutely. When is that coming out? Did they have a release date for that?
Yeah. October 20th.
Awesome. I'll put that in my calendar.
Right on. And then also, I have an update, you know, that I updated too, just a little update. You know, Come and Get Your Love, which was done by Redbone, was a Native American rock band, and they reached the top five of the U.S. Billboard's top 100 in 1974 with their single Come and Get Your Love. The single went certified gold, selling over a million copies. It's also made Redbone the first Native American band to reach the top five in the Billboard Top Hot 100. With the song reaching five, Redbone achieved hits with the singles We Were All Wounded at Wounded Knee, The Witch Queen of New Orleans, and Maggie in the United States. Although the singles were more successful overseas. And one of the things about Redbone, if you don't know this, Haley, that group, really kind of lost in favor with the record companies, and they stopped promoting them when they were supporting the AIM, American Indian Movement, and were playing at the protests and things like that at the time, and really the downfall of them. And it's funny, that song came back. I can't think of the name of the movie, but they that was played prominently in that one alien or spaceship movie. I can't remember what the heck that's called, but it was just recent. There's been three of them. I'll have to look that up and be more coherent on the radio show. But and there's an interesting YouTube video of Redbone on the Midnight Special. And when we only had three stations, Haley, many people watched the Midnight Special, and it came on at midnight or 1 o'clock in the 70s, like I think it was 70 to 81. And oh, Santina, thank you so much. The Guardians of the Galaxy is, we have really smart listeners, and we really appreciate you. Guardians of the Galaxy kind of brought that song back. And also there's a YouTube video of Redbone, and they're wearing their regalia singing the song, and it's really cool. And they dance a little bit before that. They do some drumming, and then they jump right into that song.
That's like Pat Vegas, right? Those are the Vegas brothers, the singers and songwriters for Redbone.
Yeah, definitely.
Great band.
Very fun. And to me, I didn't remember that they were Native American until I saw that video again. So shame on me. That's crazy.
No. Well, my Jaji as well. You know, I actually just found out that they were a Native American rock band as well, because at the Shakopee Powwow, we had the Natives clothing booth was there, and they actually have shirts with Redbone band members. So just a great little reminder.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It's pretty cool, you know, and we're still here. We are the seventh generation, right? I mean, we've been, we're still doing things here, and we are just excited to be a part of the people that, well, let me just do this real quick. Yeah, let's give a shout out to Bob Barker, too, who passed away, who was Native American. We'll be right back after the short break with our sacred animal portion with Wendy. See you tomorrow, everyone.
Outfront Minnesota is a driving force behind LGBTQ plus advocacy in our state, and they're gearing up to honor our state's monumental achievements in protecting our LGBTQ plus neighbors. While other states took steps backwards, Minnesota had the greatest advance in LGBTQ plus rights in 10 years. We showed that Minnesota is committed to affirming our values as a state that trusts individuals to make informed decisions about their bodies and lives, while also taking pride in delivering exceptional health care and supporting communities in need. We passed a conversion therapy ban and a trans refuge bill. And now Outfront Minnesota is ready to lead Minnesota towards even a brighter future. To celebrate, Outfront Minnesota is hosting their annual gala, where we bring in together more than 700 guests at Allianz Field on Thursday, September 14th. The event celebrates a year of legislative wins while honoring diverse communities propelling Minnesota forward into next year. Again, that's Thursday, September 14th at Allianz Field, with a dinner at 6 and party at 8. So come celebrate Minnesota's progress on LGBTQ plus rights and order your tickets at outfront.org.
As we emerge from the shadows of the pandemic, let us celebrate our resilience and embrace the path to a brighter future. While the COVID-19 emergency declaration may be over, our commitment to safety remains stronger than ever. We invite you to stand tall and protect what matters most, our health and the well-being of our loved ones and elders. The power to keep our community safe lies within each one of us. It's important to remember the basics when you're with someone who might be at risk of COVID complications. Wear your mask, wash your hands often, and take an at-home COVID test if you have any symptoms. We are a strong and interconnected community, and together we'll emerge from this challenge stronger than ever. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep the spirit of our Native American culture thriving. Find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us. That's health.state.mn.us.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. How? Hey, Kadagi, welcome back. You guys can help protect the wolves at howlingforwolves.org. Again, support the wolves at howlingforwolves.org. We got Wendy Pilot, our humane animal advocate, up from U.S. Humane Society. So why don't we go ahead and take a listen.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And it's always my pleasure to do that. At the Humane Society of the United States, we are an organization that helps protect all animals, be a chicken in a factory farm or an elephant in a zoo or in a circus. And what we do is we want policies and laws and ordinances to pass that will keep our animals safe and our people safe and the environment safe, and that's what we work on. A lot of people think that the Humane Society of the United States adopts out dogs and cats. We do not do that. We work on policy. The other thing that the Humane Society of the United States does, when asked, they will go to a disaster zone, whether it's a hurricane, a tornado, wildfires, we've had a lot of that going on. If they are asked, they will go and help get animals out of there in safety. And then they will work with local shelters to get animals safe. So that's what the Humane Society of the United States does. Your local Humane Society, that's where the confusion comes because it's almost the same name. So anyway, today I'm going to be talking about fun facts. I know it's Tuesday, so we'll call it Tipsy Tuesday instead of Fun Fact Friday, but we still are at the Minnesota State Fair. So we're going to keep things light. And after the Minnesota State Fair ends on Labor Day, then we're really going to get into the nitty-gritty and talk about animals and how we can really go ahead and help them. But for now, we're doing Tipsy Tuesday. I'm on a site. It's called the hashtag FactSite, Science and Nature. It's 300 random animal facts. It's written by Luke Ward. And this is from July 6th. 2023. We last left off at number 66, and we're working our way backwards. We started at 300, and we're working our way to number one. So we're going to start here at 66, but let's do 67. That was the last fun fact that we read the last time we did this. 67, most elephants weigh less than the tongue of a blue whale. And if everybody remembers, we talked about the blue whale being the largest mammal on the earth. The flea can jump up to 200 times its own height. This is equal to a man jumping the Empire State Building in New York. That's amazing. Scientists have performed brain surgery on cockroaches. Well, I guess that was for science and not for the cockroach. I'm guessing. I could be wrong. The great horned owl has no sense of smell. That could be a good thing or a bad thing. I have fun little animals here. I have little Miss Wanda. She's barking if she sees somebody walk past us. And I have little Lucy Lou. our old kitty cat. All right, where did we leave off? A woodpecker can peck 20 times per second. You know, I never saw a woodpecker until I moved here to Minnesota 23 years ago. I never saw them in New York. The kangaroo's ancestors lived in trees. Today, there are 8 different kinds of tree kangaroos. I had no idea about that. I just thought kangaroos hopped around on the ground. Baby horses can walk and run after just a few hours of being born. And I talked about horses before here on Native Roots Radio, and horses are born with a fight or flight response. So that's important for them to be able to run so that the predators don't get them, right? The earliest European images of dogs are found in cave paintings dating back 12,000 years ago in Spain. So the dogs have been around and by man's side for many, many years, and I love that. The Latin name for moose is Alces alces. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, but that's the Latin name for moose. I'll probably have to Google that. You know, sometimes what I do is I just go into Google and I'll say how to pronounce something and it'll tell me how to do it. But hippos can run faster than humans. You might think that they can't because they're so big. Tigers have striped skin as well as their fur. So if you shave a tiger, you will see their stripe in their skin. A dog's shoulder blades are unattached to the rest of the skeleton to allow greater flexibility for running. Hey, Wanda, that's good that you have good flexibility. Our little Wanda, we're not really exactly sure how old she is. She's a rescue. She's a little like 9-pound Shih Tzu. And she has a little bit of arthritis, so she takes medication every day. It's called Rimadyl, and it helps with her arthritis pain, and she gets around really well. We just got back from a nice long walk. One thing, do not ever give your dog any ibuprofen, Advil, anything like that. Dogs cannot metabolize that medication in their body, and they could actually die from it, so you don't want to do that. A cat has 32 muscles in each ear. So you have 64 muscles in your ears, Lucy. Yeah, you could see her ears like flipping around and moving around a lot to hear all the sounds, although she doesn't really hear that well anymore. The dumbest dog in the world is the Afghan hounds. Well, that's sad. I don't think that they should talk about the dumbest dog because I think, well, maybe they are the dumbest dog. Anyway, cats have lived with people for only 7,000 years. Only, I think 7,000 years is a long time. There is a butterfly in Africa with enough poison in its body to kill 6 cats. A butterfly. I'd like to know what that butterfly looks like. That's terrible. The smell of a skunk can be detected by a human a mile away. I'm going to read that again. The smell of a skunk can be detected by a human a mile away. Yeah, and now that marijuana is legal, you could smell that skunk weed a mile away too, I think. At birth, baby kangaroos are only about an inch long, no bigger than a large water bug or a queen bee. We'll do one or two more here. A grasshopper can leap 20 times the length of its own body. A herd of 60 cows is capable of producing a ton of milk in less than a day. Yes. The blue whale.
AM radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Cockroaches, not that bad. They call them palmetto bugs in South Carolina. Same thing, you can call them up here.
Are they really palmetto bugs?
Yes. Yeah, and they're a great source of protein. They're going to be the lobsters of the future.
They also got salmonella, and they can lay like 40 eggs at once.
Well, they gotta work out a few kinks there, okay? They gotta work out a few kinks.
Cripes Cast, every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.